I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as capital.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me Minnesota State Senator for Senate District 54B, Minnesota Senate District 54, Carla Bigham. Senator Bigham, it's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mike. It's always a good time.
All right. We understand the Senate session has been ramping up in activity. I know that there are some deadline days that are coming and going, and things are getting quite active in the chambers. Bring me up to date on some of the things going on and what you're facing and how you're moving about.
Yeah, you know, it is a busy time. It's that hurry up and wait now, but we start our 10-day Easter Passover break, and we come back on April 6th to our third and final deadline, meaning all omnibus bills have to be into Finance Committee with the exception of tax and bonding. So it's really a lot of work in committee. I think we should be spending a little bit more time in committee because there's a lot of things that are that's being left on the table. But nonetheless, we will be spending a lot more time when we get back in committee, and then it's all in the Senate chamber. We've actually had busy time for me in committee. I had a couple really good hearings this past week, one on the armor gates in South St. Paul. So, you know, in their Bridgepoint Park where the stockyards were, so, you know, you had Armors and Swift Company meatpacking there along with others.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the two huge armor gates. And it's such a, you know, the meatpacking industry and the stockyards are a huge culture for Minnesota, but specifically to South St. Paul.
Right.
And so what Representative Hansen and I have is a bill to provide some cultural historical money for removal, renovation, and relocation of those gates so we can preserve that history. And it was such a wonderful committee, and people were very excited about just kind of hearing that. And I mean, South St. Paul is very historical when it comes to that, and also obviously the first women in the history of the nation to vote after ratification of the 19th Amendment. So pretty historical there.
Right. Sure. And I was going to say, there was at one point in the nation's history that if you were putting meat on the table, it more than likely came through South St. Paul and those stockyards there. That industry really put that area on the map as far as the nation goes.
For sure. My great-grandfather worked at one of the at Cudahy's, and then my grandfather worked at Swift Company. And then Senator Karen Housley's on my bill. Her grandfather and uncles worked at Armors. And so if you were from this area, like I am, like Senator Housley is, you're grandparents or great uncles or great grandfathers typically worked there because that was a really good paying job, good union jobs, Mike.
Yes.
And man, can my grandfather, if he were still alive, would tell me stories about the fights they had over a nickel. He used to say, "Cupcake, men died down there over a nickel." I mean, we had some horrendous strikes. And so that's really where my passion for fighting for workers' rights has come from, is my family's deep roots in the labor movement. And South St. Paul is front and center of that movement for danger.
And
so,
if the bill passes or the legislation goes through, what is the object or what is the objective for those gates? Where would they likely be moved to and how would they be preserved?
Well, that's up to South St. Paul. That's a local decision through their Economic Development Authority and the City Council. We just gave them as much flexibility as possible to do what they need to with those the gates to preserve that history for the community. So they'll make the final decision, but it can only be used for removal, renovation, and relocation.
Is there
those are the three things they can use it for.
in conversations with the local government there, the Economic Development Authority, has there been any indication of what they might like to do with that?
They have not made a final decision. I think they still have to work that out amongst themselves with where specifically it would be located and what they would do for renovation of the gates. I think that's still being discussed for them, and which is why we gave them as much flexibility as possible. So we didn't limit their options.
Okay. And you said that the legislation itself has broad support across
yes.
both parties. And do you see
yes.
any real challenges for it to get to the governor's desk?
Well, it's going to be laid over for a possible inclusion in the legacy bill. And so, you know, those legacy funds are the sales tax, you know, that's dedicated to legacy cultural outdoor heritage programs. And this would fall under that. And so I'm just going to be scanning that bill as soon as it comes out. You know, Representative Rick Hansen lives in South St. Paul, has been a longtime member of the committees that deal with this issue. So I'm hoping between the two of us and leaning on my good friend Senator Housley, who's in the majority in the Senate, that maybe we can get this appropriation through. So hopefully that happens. We did have another real exciting hearing related to highway lighting on Highway 61 between Jamaica Avenue and Cottage Grove all the way down to Highway 95.
Well, let's back up just a minute. I don't think I'd ever hear the two words together, exciting hearing, first of all.
Well, but,
it really makes sense for one-time money,
right? I mean, Mike, I've been talking about on your program here that it seems like we have a lot of money available, and we do. You know, getting $2.6 billion from President Biden and the Democrats in Washington. We have a $1.6 billion positive balance here in Minnesota, but that's one-time money. There's very little ongoing money. So you can't fund removing the Social Security tax from seniors with one-time money.
Right.
You can't help fund schools with a declining enrollment with one-time money. You know, you can infuse money for summer school for students, right? You can put highway lighting on Highway 61.
Sure.
And use really good money, you know, appropriated money to make improvements in infrastructure. And so I think that I'm very excited, and I think my friends across the aisle have noticed my bills are really good one-time use, you know, projects. And so Mayor Bailey and the city engineer from Cottage Grove testified and really talked about the need for the safety side of it, because there's been, that gets really dark. There's no lighting whatsoever. And they've had a huge increase over the last decade of accidents down there. And so it meets a lot of the standards. So Representative Jurgens is carrying that in the House.
Good.
So hopefully together, you know, we've had some success. It hasn't always been easy, but we've had some success between the Hero Center together and, you know, the historical restoration for the City Hall and then Highway 316. We've had some success working together on these really good projects. So hopefully we can pull this one out of the hat too, because it really is. Good use.
Well, and so, it makes a lot of sense to me personally, because even taking, you know, the safety aspect is important. It's huge. I understand that. But taking into account the fact that the development continues to, you know, residential development continues in the area, they're starting to look at maybe expanding south there a little bit. And it just makes sense to me to put in infrastructure when we can in order to accommodate what's coming in the future.
Yes. Yep. So it makes a lot of sense. So I'm hoping that happens. And then, Mike, we've been fairly busy on the Senate floor. We have passed a bill yesterday that increased requirements for planning for law enforcement when they use confidential, reliable informants. That is a big bill. Proud to support it, and it really is tragic. You know, law enforcement uses confidential, reliable informants on, you know, for drugs, organized crime, and there's been some tragedies, and so the law enforcement community is coming up using the post boards, using the Minnesota Police Peace Officers, the Sheriff's Association. They're all going to come together and put together a plan to protect confidential, reliable informants. Is a gentleman in Olmsted County in Rochester that was a confidential, reliable informant and OD'd on heroin after being a CRI, and the parents found out about it in the news because there was no notification that he was a CRI. And so we just have to put some programs in place and training in place to help that, because they are a big part of how we solve crime here. And a good tool for law enforcement. But you know, the time's come where we gotta put some planning and training together for those types of programs. And then the other one, obviously a big topic, you know, spiking energy costs due to what happened in Texas, mm-hmm. and the spike of natural gas. We did part one of two. We appropriated money to and moved a deadline or a sunset, I'm sorry, for Xcel to give them flexibility to deal kind of with this issue. And then we're going to obviously be looking at using, because we don't really have guidelines yet, some of the $2.6 billion, you know, to help middle-class folks with these bills, because rumor is, if you listen to what the PUC said, who is chaired by none other than our very own former Senator Katie Sieben, if you listen to the hearings, you know, this fall, you're going to see some increase in spikes of your energy bill, and we've got to be able to deal with that. You know, no one's going to want to see a $500-$600 energy bill come September, October. So we've got to figure out with Xcel, with the municipal co-ops, and different things like that, how we're going to attack that. And it's going to take money. And so hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to use the federal dollars to offset that instead of out of our general fund. So we have a bipartisan group of legislators that are working on that. And I'm keeping my thumb on the pulse of that, because I think that's a big deal when you look at seniors, when you look at working families. That's a big deal. So, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did those types of bills this week. And like I said, we head into a break, and then we come back and run past the final deadline. And then from there, we're out of committee, unless you're on tax committee or rules or bonding. And we'll be spending a lot of time on bills that are on general orders. And I have a couple on there, so hopefully my bills will get called up and be able to pass off the floor.
What kind of bills are you looking to have called up?
Well, the one bill that allows for counties to continue to process marriage applications electronically.
Okay.
That one's on there. And then my bill for adopting a law enforcement's address, that one's on general orders as well.
Sure. One thing I would like to touch on really quick, and only because a Dakota County commissioner has put out a survey about it, and I've got it here, I just want to read through it, that there is a constitutional amendment being discussed, I don't think it's actually moving through yet, that would enable Minnesota counties to join South Dakota. And this has been proposed by State Representative Jerry Munson of Crystal Lake. Do you have any information on that, and where would you be on such a legislative issue?
Well, that survey has to be Commissioner Joe Atkins, my buddy.
Right.
We served in the House together for a long time. I think it is an obnoxious idea, and I think that it's a waste of time, and it shows that the House Republicans are not serious about attacking issues that are facing Minnesotans. And I think it's sad that this is where our process has come, when we have disparities that COVID has shown, when we have a lot of other issues on our plate related to healthcare, education, homelessness, housing, food insecurity, tuition for college students, and this is what they want to spend their time on. I usually don't like to get partisan, but you know, that body also in the House, Republicans also proposed jailing transgender kids, and it's just ridiculous proposing this stuff that doesn't have a prayer of making it across the finish line. It's divisive, it's hateful, it's hurtful, and Minnesota is far and away a superior state than South Dakota, and I will put our education, our economy, and our workers, our citizens, you know, ahead of them every single day, because Minnesota is by far the best state in the country to live in, and as a lifelong resident, proud Minnesotan, I do not know why you would want to, why you would want to even propose such a thing.
Sure,
so.
I understand. And
I mean, it's not Iowa. Maybe I'm not bringing it up because it was Iowa.
Yeah. I'm not bringing it up because I think it has a possibility or anything, but I know that since it is out there, our listeners are probably aware of it, and we just want to make sure that we get information out there. In about the last minute or so, I would like to talk about Governor Walz's statement on expanding the vaccine eligibility. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
Yep. So you announced that anybody 16 and up will be able to be eligible to receive the vaccine if they so choose. I highly, highly, highly encourage people to sign up on the vaccine locator on the Department of Health. There's Dakota County's website is phenomenal with information, so please go there. But folks, please get vaccinated. It's so vitally important for us to get to herd immunity and get on reserve list in case people don't show up for their appointments for whatever reason. I mean, it's so important. I do know I was on a call with Dakota County, and Pfizer is the only one that allows 16 to 18-year-olds. You know, stay tuned to my social media accounts, my email blast, and, you know, Dakota County's website, and really Bonnie, the public health director, is just phenomenal and at getting information out and very knowledgeable, and appreciate all the work that our public health community has done with this vaccine. So get on reserve list wherever you can to get the Fauci-ouchie.
As they're
calling it. There's plenty of options out there, whether it's Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer. Let's get it in our arms, and let's it's a race against these variants. We're one of 18 states that have an increase in positive cases, and it was like 1,800 the other day, and definitely increased. And so let's make sure that we're fighting these variants and we're going to survive this pandemic.
We're at about the end of our segment here, so Senator Bingham, once again, I'd like to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information should any of your constituents have questions or concerns.
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is phone, which is 651-297-8060, or you can send me an email at sen, which is the abbreviation for senator, .carla, that's with a K, .bigum, at senate.mn.
You're tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?